as we move forward and as we're thinking, do I have influence? Do I want to be a fully functioning Christian? What am I living for? I hope we're answering that question with, yes, I do want to live for Christ. Yes, I do want to make an impact. But we're also saying, yes, I also recognize the need to build these character qualities that we have seen so far in Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, 5 through 9, so that we have the opportunity when it gets down to verse 9 of saying, I want to be one who doesn't just put on a smiling face, who doesn't just put out an occasional word of encouragement, but one who is holding fast the faithful word. In other words, getting God's word out there into the minds of people in my family, into the minds of hearts of my neighbors, and sowing those seeds. That's what yesterday and putting a tract pamphlet or something that could help them with Scripture, and it was all about. It was holding out the faithful. The reason why we didn't have a whole bunch of other things out there, of self-help things or, that are out there on the market is because they are not as powerful and effective. They are not used as to the degree that Scripture is as we hold it out because it is God's faithful, inerrant, inspired Word. So here we are with thinking, okay, I'm starting to work on my character a little bit. Or, bless God, through the years, God has helped me with working on some character traits. I recognize that I'm not 100% there, but I am. What comes next? Well, what comes next are some commitments, and we're going to be talking about some of the positive commitments that come out of verses 10 through 16, understanding also that if we do not make these choices for character growth, if we don't make the choices to say, I want to be right and tight with Jesus Christ, then we will be lapsing into this life that you see, which is not pretty. It's very selfish, self-absorbed, and it's only for our benefit that you see described here in 10 through 16. But on the other side of all of these negatives are obviously positive commitments. So the commitment, are we committed to being deceived and deceiving others, or are we on the other side of that committed to learning the truth and using the truth? There's commitments in two different directions, and they have obvious ramifications. It says in verse 10, for there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are unsettling whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. We'll kind of stop there for a minute, and you can see where one set of choices, if I don't choose to grow right with Christ and develop my character, I'm going to lapse into some of these things that the people were there. I'm not going to be concerned about how I'm coming across my relationship with the Lord. There's going to be a certain emptiness, a certain deception. Now, these folks here that are being talked about in verse 10 are folks that obviously don't have the personal relationship with Christ in the first place. They're not just, backslidden believers. They are folks that are committed to the choice of, hey, whatever feels good to me or whatever I think is right, that's what I'm going to be talking about. And you can see what God's take on this is. God considers that to be rebellion. God considers that to be empty or vain or just full of hot air. Now, none of us want to go around saying to my life, well, what's the result of everything that you have said in your life? Oh, I'm proud to announce that the family reunion, or now here at my 25th high school reunion for the last 25 years, I have been communicating and throwing out there one hot air statement after another. And nothing I have said is of any lasting value. It's completely worthless. And actually, I've gotten into a pretty neat deception scheme and scam with people. And you would not believe some of the things that people... Of course, we do not get up and announce those things. Those are normally things that are kept hidden that we can be ashamed of, especially if we are a believer. We don't think in terms of deceiving people. We don't think in terms of using people. We don't think in terms of just talking about fluff stuff all the time. But we also have to realize on the other side of this, are we committed to communicating the truth of God to people? When was the last time that we started a conversation here or in our homes with, hey, can I share something with you exciting that I learned out of the Word of God this week? I mean, that's a statement. Here we are, believers, we're thinking, you know, and sort of making the assumption that we are reading God's Word on a somewhat of a regular basis. Hopefully it's every day. But then sometimes we get together as believers and the last thing that comes up is, did I learn anything or did I gain anything? Did I acquire anything? Did I apply anything from God's truth? And if we are obviously soaking in, that becomes intuitively obvious, but Titus was going into and lived amongst, just like you do, of folks that have made a commitment, sometimes by default. Sometimes a person who is not in Christ sometimes does not realize that they are soaking in falsehood all the time. And that by communicating the falsehood to other people, you know, in a hook, line, and sinker manner, that they are also a part of the deception. You know, parents, for instance, that portray to their family that there really is no need or lasting impact, or there's no real reality, there's no power in a relationship with Christ. Even as believers, we can sometimes lapse into that. Maybe they don't see us praying, maybe they don't see us reading God's Word, maybe they don't see us, you know, letting folks know, hey, you know, something about what we're getting out of Scripture. And we deceive our own people. That's a really serious thing, isn't it? Deceive our people into thinking that Christianity is just about showing up on Sunday, doing a few little knick-knack things here and there. If the pastor really comes and jumps on me, twists my arm, I'm face down in the dirt, you know, I'll paint the, you know, whatever it is. But that's not where God, that's a deception by us as a parent, or by any parent that does that. Or going to, work every day and not acting like the Word of God has any effect in our lives. Not changing the tone of a joke that is a quote-unquote joke that obviously has an immoral connotation, or it's going to put somebody down. We don't jump in. We are deceiving people into saying that Christianity, our relationship with Christ, means nothing and has no effect, is not relevant to them at all. But yet we hear all kinds of things all the time that are anti-Christ. These folks were going out of their way to be deceptive. It says, especially those of the circumcision, that is, people that were Judaizers who were saying that you cannot be a genuine Christian unless you keep all the regulations of the law. Or the established, you know, Old Testament sacrifice, unless you're doing all of those things, unless you're keeping the law as it was prescribed even after the death of Christ, when there was not a focus on keeping the regulations of the law anymore, because Jesus paid and died for the sin penalty of all the law violations that there could ever be. They were saying, hey, unless you have gone through some of these rites things, unless you're worshiping the way you're supposed to work, unless you're going through the circumcision, unless you're doing some of these outward acts of obedience prescribed in the law, that you cannot be, or that you need to do that in addition to trusting in Christ. It's not good enough to just trust in Christ. Some say also that we need the atonement. There's writings of different cult groups. We need the atonement. We need Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, a cult group will say. And we have received atonement or forgiveness of sin after all that we have done. Now, what's the implication of after all we have done? It means that our works count for something. And that is an outright deception, because they don't count a single thing towards the forgiveness of any sin. It's only because of what Christ has done. Now, Paul's take on this towards Timothy is that they must be silent. They must be silenced. That means that somebody has to have a conversation. Because of my commitment to truth, I need to pull somebody aside if they're communicating non-truth. You know, if somebody even in the local church, that's where admonishment and encouragement in the scriptures comes aside. We got to be willing to say, hey, you know what? Even in this one area, we need to be committed wholeheartedly to living God's truth and using God's truth, to acting in a Christ-like way, to growing in our faith and trust. And we need to be willing to say, we don't pounce on a person and say, I'm going to silence you and duct tape your face. But we do say that we're going to share some additional truth in a kind and loving way so that the course will be corrected. And we ought to be glad that along the way, if somebody has the courage and the will to step up and do that for us. And we ought to be willing to do that for them. It's not easy, but it's something that certainly is urgent. The question comes also in these next couple of verses about the commitment that follows there in verse 11. Do we have a commitment to upsetting people in a family that is misleading them, or do we have a commitment to healing? Now you think about that, and again, what have you been doing with your life? What is your life? What's its direction? What is it counting for? What are the commitments that flow off? Keeping silent and not learning the scriptures, not using the scriptures, not changing our character so we can show that the Word of God is so relevant for us. The folks that are not committed to that because they're misusing the truth or they're trying to deceive, they're the ones that are upsetting whole families. And the implication here is that there have been some, the families being families in a house church or families that were meeting together for worship, and there were some who were coming together saying, I am a worshiper, I am a person, but they were intentionally upsetting other people and causing derision and sowing their seeds of deception, communicating, living for Christ and applying Christ-like character does not matter, and they were upsetting, putting other families on edge, if you will, setting them back in their spiritual life, making them question Christ. But we have the opportunity through our commitments to say to ourselves, if we're going to be a local church that makes an impact in a culture that's just like Cretan culture was, where it's you know, there's many hard things out there. There's many, you know, deep, you know, evidences of deep unbelief and lack of conviction and so on, and people going their own way. Their eternity with Christ is uncertain. And are we going to be the one, again, that God can count on for healing? It is a whole lot easier as a body. And am I scolding? Not scolding, but I'm just encouraging you to get in on the good stuff, friend. No matter how we notice, it's not always our business to uncover every possible last bit of detail about why a person is offended or how it happened or anything like that, so we can be mad with them or have the temptation to justify their grief against another person. The importance of what we have with the truth of God is to say, you know what, I can take that truth of God and I can help a person be healed or drawn more into the truth. But we know of people who are around us who are offended about something. Every one of us could raise our hand. We know that about something that is miscued. Now, are we going to be the one that God can say, hey, I can insert you just like Titus in this Cretan culture, just like Titus into these house churches where this stuff was going on, and can I count upon you, Titus? Can I count upon you, Randy? Can I count upon you and put your name in there to be one who's going to keep inserting truth that's going to have a healing effect on people? Or are you going to look, smile, walk away and say, boy, that is too bad. That is so unfortunate. I'm sorry that there is the offense, and, you know, maybe it will go away if we don't say anything or do anything. Am I being facetious? Absolutely not. It's real, and it's here, and we need to be people who are going to say, you know what, because of my love for Christ as the head, because of my love for my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm not going to be aggressively pounding stuff out of people's head, but I'm going to be lovingly inserting truth and having a healing influence, being known as a peacemaker. And you know whether you are one of those because you know whether or not you have been one who somebody has approached with a person, who gets continually approached with a person who they can count on to listen to stuff. And that means we need to adjust what we're thinking and what we're saying and be more of a peacemaking person and be one who's quick to direct other people back to Scripture. If your spouse is holding on to something that you know is not in line with the Scripture, help work that out. If your kid is saying, this is messed up or that is messed up or I don't like this, be the person who has a healing influence and says, I will move in there and help as much as I can help. Are we going to make an ongoing commitment to the plain sense of Scripture? It says teaching things that should not be taught for the sake of sordid gain. That is, there's the possibility of other motivations out there. And these folks were being nice to other people. They were showing up for the sake of and trying to get a following around themselves for the sake of their own gain, for what they could manipulate out of or suck out of other people, even in terms of money. And obviously, when we think about what is our commitment is just to see God honored and glorified, right? Our commitment is to sow seeds of God's word and to interject truth into other people's lives and to say, Lord, change my life. Help me to put on Jesus Christ so that others will be directed back to God and so that they will get in on the benefits of living for Christ and of developing Christ-like character. That's the only path, friends, I'm telling you, the only path to a psyched-up, unbelievably great life is by growing in Christ, putting on Him and His character traits, and then laying some of those things out there in a loving way so that other people can grasp it, can see it, can benefit from it, whether they even know it or not. There were many, many years of my life I did not recognize the impact of, and sometimes even in my mother, I resisted her living for Christ by having a critical spirit of her. There were other people, even in college days, that I did not appreciate every attitude of my professors in terms of their relationship with Jesus Christ and what they were really putting out there in terms of their humility and their commitments and things like that. It took me a little while to get it sometimes, and it does with many of us. But friends, I want to encourage you to get it now. As Titus is imploring us, come along with me. I'm going to Crete. You're going to Hagistown and the surrounding area, to this, you know, northern New Jersey. And we're going to live for Christ together, he is saying, through all these centuries and, you know, a millennium or two, you know. We're going to do this. You can do this in northern Jersey just like I did it as Paul sent me off to the island of Crete. Looking forward to the opportunity, can you? But realize that there's some that are teaching things they should not teach. There's some that are using the Bible to distort things. We should be ones who use the Bible to help people make sense of what's happening in life. We should be using the Bible to help keep each other pure. We should be using the Bible to help encourage one another. We should be using the Bible to minister to specific needs. And that's what we want. That's what Titus is saying, I want you to get good at. When you think of the word love, when you think of the word abuse, when you think of the word, you know, of any word you can think of that relates to a human condition, are there five or six verses that come popping to your mind? And beyond that, beyond the verses that pop to your mind, that's not only where Christ wants us. He wants us speaking those true statements to other people so they can benefit from not being a false teacher, not just giving them garbage, not having the wrong kind of motives. Notice what happens as you get down in here. One of themselves, a prophet, you know, he's talking about One of the historians who made this statement about Cretans, and Paul is agreeing with that statement as being true. But he says in verse 13, this testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely, so that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. You see, I don't want to be one that somebody has to turn away from. I want to be someone who others can go to be counted upon for a known quantity of having some of God's truth, having applied some of God's truth, and being one who's working on doing more of the same. And that's what I hope where your desire is as well, having this testimony. I don't want to be one who has to be, you know, locked down and said, you know, if this doesn't change, we're going to have to disfellowship from you. You know, I don't want to be one who's saying, you know, also, I don't care about some of the teachings. I don't care what it says. You can talk to me for 15 years about spiritual gifts in the body and that everybody is given one, but you're not going to convince me to do anything regular or to find out what my spiritual gift is or to use it in the body. See you later. You know, of course we don't want to say that. So the other side of that is saying, you know what? I'm going to have a commitment to being one who receives, understands, and uses God's truth. Otherwise, how far away are we? Ask yourself that question. How far away am I really? Am I being one of those ones who's just paying attention to myths, the myths of it doesn't matter anyway? Or I have my own thing that I'm believing, or all religions are the same, or everyone is pointed towards God and stuff like that. If you believe those kind of things, then there's absolutely no need to tell any person about Christ on the planet. But that is a myth. That is a mistaken thought that circulates out there. It's just simply not true, not according to me, but according to the Bible. And it's not a Baptist thing. It's a Bible thing. We're not here because we are in this room, I hope, because you are a Baptist person or you have a denominational identity. I hope you're here as a card-carrying Christian, somebody who is here because I love Christ and want to promote the love of Christ with one another and promote the understanding of Scripture with one another. Because you're not going to be asked what church you went to. You're going to be asked what you did for Christ, right? And how you grew in the Lord. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have a label with a certain group of truths that are surrounded on it on a church sign. That's, you know, but that the main thing is that we are people, and we'll kind of finish with this, that have said to our in ourselves and said with the Lord, Lord, I want you to be somebody who helps me with my spiritual commitments. I want you to be someone who doesn't help me just, you know, be a religious person, but somebody that moves beyond religion into growing my relationship with Christ and using my relationship with Christ, being thankful for my relationship with Christ. So that's why we said earlier how grateful we were for people that were being as, you know, little tracks. If you would have seen all the neat little dynamic duels we had out there, some of the people that you would consider here to be some of the shyest people, having so much joy and life in their hearts that they gladly passed a piece of the Bible to somebody else. It was just an amazing, delightsome thing to witness. And I'm so thankful for it that I got. That was a huge blessing to me as I was looking in with a big smile, noticing what God was doing in and through people and how there was a strong commitment to the truth of God, sharing what they knew about the sense of Scripture, pointing to the importance of applying the Scripture so that we have no thoughts of lapsing back into where we find Cretan culture. So what do you do with this? I want you to think of something, some commitment that maybe God has been tapping you on the shoulder to make. If we start praying about things, then we'll start moving towards where God is. If we need to just pray for understanding, maybe we say to ourselves, man, somebody has told me different than that for many years of my life. I'm not sure I want to make any commitments to what this guy is talking about. What if the next guy in the church says something different? Well, the importance is that we pray, Lord, give me an ability to understand your word so that I'm doing what you want me to do out of the truths of Scripture. If it's been a while for anything in our spiritual life, then let's say, Lord, help me to understand some teaching in these areas. Help me to grow my commitment. Help me to be willing to step forward and do some things that you are tapping me on the shoulder to do. I know some may be weary in their well-doing, but I want to encourage you to say, hey, Lord, help me to understand what commitments I should make and what commitments I should avoid. But let's bow our heads in prayer and